follow your passion, but take your time. Because when we started the awards, for example, people were literally laughing at the phone. An award for sustainable product.
Welcome to Communicating Purpose. I'm John Higginson, founder of purpose-led communications agency Higginson Strategy. And I believe that the best way to get a message across clearly is by talking about something you honestly and passionately believe in. By doing so, you bring people with you. Your passion becomes theirs, and I call this the power of purpose. Today, I'm joined by Niels Bader, founder of the Green Future Club and the Green Product Awards. He's speaking to me from Eindhoven in Germany. Regarded as a world-renowned expert on sustainable strategies, for more than 25 years, Niels has collaborated with some of the largest organizations in the world, from Microsoft to BMW, Red Bull, and UN organizations, developing initiatives and sustainable business practices. Through the Green Product Awards, Niels has spent more than a decade propelling groundbreaking sustainable products and services from companies around the world onto the market. And with the Green Future Club, is a platform for industry experts, designers, manufacturers, and investors to accelerate the transition to a sustainable economy. Niels, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Can you just start by sharing a bit more about your background and the journey that led you to where you are today?
Thank you, John, for having me here. My original background is from marketing studies. Then communication directly popped in talking to sponsors, newspapers. And from there, it led me a bit for the first e-government steps in Germany, moving to Berlin and doing a lot of e-government tools. Then corporate learning, CSR popped in, and after a couple of years, I had to stop and I went to South Asia for, let's say, a longer breakout session to decide what will be the future of my work, what I'm dedicated to.
And so you said CSR popped in. What was your interest in corporate social responsibility? Why were you interested in that particularly?
It all started a bit with the with more interest in the environment, seeing there's waste, what's happening with the waste. And then we started asking, together with TÜV Rheinland, a huge certification agency, asking, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 companies in Germany what they understand under sustainability, what fields do they tap on.
Great. So tell us, how does the Green Future Club work?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, we collect the interesting parties like established companies, startups, but also young designers. And we see that they have usually more or less the same problems or demands, let's say. Plastic repackaging, supply chain management, communication. What do they need in future to have a communication which is not greenwashing? And then we do matchmaking events with them. So it's matchmaking, we have online trainings with them, we have combined experiences, then there are site events where people can meet, because sometimes it's really important that they touch the products or their solutions that they have.
Great. So quite often you're acting as a matchmaker. People are coming to you because you've got very good connections into large corporates, but also so the startups might be coming to you because they want to connect with those larger corporations. And the corporations mm-hmm. might be coming to you because of the energy that the startups bring, and they've got some of that energy. Is that right to say that?
Yeah, we have two ways of connecting. We have the vertical matchmaking you are talking about, and we have a horizontal matchmaking, which is also pretty fruitful on the same level, but from different industries. So we have 14 categories in the awards. Let's say someone from fashion meets someone from interior, and someone from the new materials category. They start talking, you just have to introduce them, and then they all start.
So you're bringing together the different parts of the chain so that they can work together. That's interesting. And mm-hmm. I was speaking to you last week. You were at a design trade fair in the Netherlands. So clearly you're still attending events. What's your, in your 25 years, what have you found has been the most effective way of communicating? Is it still just meeting people at events, or are there other things?
I think meeting people at events is still in the chain of communication a tipping point, because then we have the personal impression, then people say, okay, now I know you a bit. There's a lot of information in advance, like you know what someone's doing, you are introduced by someone. I think this is the key part, but from there, it's also a long way from meeting to do something when a project runs to see like, okay, are you still on board? Push a bit more. Also, it's expectation management also to see when does everybody think it's a success now.
Yeah. And what's the usual length for you? So you were at Northern Europe's biggest design fair last week. And say if you met someone there, what's the normal length of time between you exchanging cards there and saying, let's work together and actually working together? Have you worked that out yet?
That's an interesting question. So a very long example, I'm at this design fair as a visitor for now 10 years maybe. And we met some state organizations and we were always in contact until last year. And then a project started. So it was really 9 years.
Yeah.
If it always would be like this, I would maybe do something different. We have fast shooters, but it always takes at least 3 months.
And so taking us through that funnel, really, it's a bit of a sales funnel you're talking about there. You're meeting someone. What other forms of communication over your 25 years have you found useful then? Presumably, you're going into email marketing after that and reaching out to people on emails.
In a simple way, yes. So because you meet, exchange cards, and then you start. Or sometimes you just say, here, this is our contact. If you're really interested, come by. And it's really half and half, because if you would follow up everyone yourself, then I would do nothing else. As automated and AI-ish the world is, also makes for the important ones no sense. Yeah. So it's a bit personal one to go for those talks. Great. We are using the platforms with our social media channels business-wise. So people are a bit updated. We have newsletters. We have the website with news. We invite them to events. So there's a bit of a mix.
Great. Can you share a communications crisis that you've had in your career that you've had to deal with?
Yeah. The simple one was COVID related. So we had people from, I think, 40 countries coming to Munich because we prepared a pretty big show, like a award ceremony, 400 square meter exhibition. And our event partner, the Trade Fair of Munich, told us 3 days in advance, by telephone at least, hey guys, we are the first big show in Germany which is not taking part. Right. And we had 120 goods exhibits coming. They're already in customs in Germany. People from India were calling, hey, can we meet up front?
Was this in the first few months before people knew that the world was going to be shutting down?
Yeah,
I'm
it was in
this
March.
Is March, April or something. March, okay.
Yeah, March. And then we decided to anyhow do it. And we found a different location within 2 days. We still had an exhibition on a different area.
Okay.
And then instead of 500 people, 200 people were there. And when we finished our event, the lockdown started next day. It was really, oh God.
Yeah.
So we somehow managed to go from Munich to Berlin. All the others also, luckily made it to their countries back.
And what was the feeling at the event? Because lots of people were choosing not to travel at that stage because there was lots of news around, wasn't there? Was there a kind of feeling that that was the last hurrah?
Yeah, and it was super special and emotional because there's like, okay, it's still happening. Thank you for that. We are here. We don't know what's happening now. So crisis, very dark, dark, dark sky is coming. And especially for all the startups, they say, okay, now we are going to market now and this is happening. So then we had a lot of communication things to do to send out the words, to find a different way of communication with our media partners, saying like, something is happening. We're all in panic somehow, but please keep on the work, promote the ones we have here. You can do everything from home. It's no problem to share things and information and out. And that was pretty heartwarming. We because everyone afterwards came in like, you did it. We did not expect that. Thank you for that. And then the switch to digital was better than expected because people then had a bit of time.
Yeah.
And now the communication scheme and their present and focus has changed from that totally.
Right. So. There's been lots of talk in the last few years about greenwashing and about large organizations using their green initiatives, which might make up a small fraction of the business they do, to use that as communications while the majority of their business is actually non-environmental. Is there any work that you've done over the years to combat that and to work with organizations on how to communicate effectively and honestly about their sustainability without greenwashing?
Yeah, this is a topic which comes since all the years I'm working. Someone is doing something and pretending the company is the best in the world. It's very important to say, okay, this is a topic, you can talk about that in this way. And this is important if you tell your clients, we only allow that or there are regulations. And if you now come to greenwashing, we did it from the very beginning with the awards. We give the participants a clear info. You can use your awards here for the product winning, not for the company. You can say, hey, this company is doing good and they won with that product. But you can't say, we are a green company at all, or put it in all your products. Nowadays, we have new regulations and we all fell in love with that a bit because you have the European Green New Deal. And from here, everything is changing. So if you want to say, first of all, you have to follow up certain rules of eco-design for sustainable products. You must measure what you do. There are fees coming in if you don't behave like the laws are. Yep. And there's a digital product passport coming up in 2 years to document this accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
And when the Green Claim Directive comes in, this will be pretty challenging because if you say most sustainable, glasses, then you must be pretty, pretty good in your own numbers and the competitors' numbers. So this will be nearly impossible to say. This is, I think, good. We saw some people crashing. So there was a thing with Danone, and they used kind of a bio-based plastics, 30% in their packages, and they claimed this is a sustainable packaging only made from. And then it's usually, then it's expensive because someone drops in and says, okay, you can't do that. But on the market, they don't feel that. They just do it.
Yeah. So like in advertising, companies won't be able to make green claims anymore, which will make it easier for consumers to actually know when something's green or not. And as we know, lots of consumers out there have just stopped believing anything because they don't know what's true and what's not. So thanks to that EU directive that is coming in, consumers will be able to know that they can trust it in the same way as you've got very strict rules in advertising on what you can make a claim on. If you could give one message to your younger self, what would it be?
Follow your passion, but take your time and maybe continue things which are grounded. So you go from step to step to step. Maybe don't make steps too fast. Relax, watch around, like, I achieved this. This is pretty good. Continue a bit more. Don't be impatient and bored. Because when we started the awards, for example, 12 years ago, people were literally laughing at the phone. An award for sustainable products. Yeah. So,
good. So. And it goes to show, and as you just said, there was someone that you're doing work with that you met 9 years ago and you're finally doing work with at the communications company that I'm a founder of. I find similar things. Sometimes I have great conversations and relationships with people and maybe 5-6 years before we start working together. So don't rush too fast. Look at the long term. I think that's a good bit of advice. Niels Baader, you've been speaking to me, John Higginson, on Communicating Purpose. If you'd like to know more about how Higginson Strategy supports purpose-led organizations, please visit higginsonstrategy.com.